Well, again, last week was really a wonderful week, and it was a fun time together. And again, we want to say thank you for all that you've ministered to me and my family. But along those same lines, I was asked about a lot of the good things at Family of Faith. But this morning, I want to begin by talking to you about one of the things that's been a heartache. And it is, it's one of those things that everyone experiences, whether, it doesn't matter how long you've been in ministry or just in your own personal life. I'm sure you can relate, but there have been times that I've experienced finding out that everything's not hunky-dory with you. You know, we talk and, hey, how are things going? And you say, oh, great, wonderful. And sometimes it's weeks, sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years later that it all comes crashing down. And, you know, you meet with people, you get a call, and, you know, how long has this been going on? And, you know, whatever people, let's put it this way, personal suffering has been kept private, and it shouldn't have been. Scripture says, when one member suffer, we all suffer. And sometimes you're just holding it to yourself, and you don't understand the resource that God has given you here at Family of Faith. And so whenever I find out, my heart is broken, not only because of whatever the situation may be, but the fact that, it's been going on for so long and you were suffering in silence. And it hurts. It hurts. Not in a personal sense that you somehow have offended me. That hurts. I feel for your situation. And I want you to know that not only me, but others here in the congregation, we'll stand with you. We'll pray with you. We'll walk through the worst kind of hell that you're facing. You don't have to go it alone. And that has been one of the hard things in 40 years. To know that has happened, and I can never assume that it's not currently happening. And I want you to know that you're loved. I love you. The staff here is great. And as I've already mentioned, there's people that you're sitting around right now who love you and will help. But it's amazing also how the enemy will use multiple tactics to convince people to stay silent. You don't want to bother other people. You don't want to burden them, or you know how embarrassing this would be, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. Well, Scripture says we're not supposed to be ignorant of Satan's tactics. And just because we're aware of them doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to do anything about it. But you should, because you have resource to fight and to win. So, I know that this happens. I get it. I understand why people aren't quick to say things. But listen to me, until people are free from the fear of bringing their struggles into the light and to trust Jesus that he will work through his people to bring wholeness and freedom. This morning I want to talk to you about my desire for you. And my desire for you is that you would receive and use the supernatural gifts that he's given, he's provided, he's made available for you to strengthen you, to enable you to fight and to win. The enemy of your soul, Satan, and even your own flesh will tell you that any supernatural work of God that has occurred in your life, or that you've seen happen in somebody else, or that you've heard about, is just your imagination. It really wasn't real. Or that there's a natural explanation for it. And you've got to fight those thoughts. And even learn to ignore other people who are filled with doubt and unbelief. You still love them, but because they'll try to talk you out of what God has done or will do supernaturally, miraculously, to transform your life. Listen, church, we need to be stretched beyond our comfort. when it comes to what God wants to do in our lives. We need to grow in believing God and trusting God. Why? Well, it sometimes amazes me that there are people who say that they're believers, followers of Jesus Christ, but they, like people in the world, refuse to believe anything that is not natural, physical. They don't believe in the spirit world, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, healing, or that supernatural prayer is of any value. So concerning skeptical Christians who refuse to believe that supernatural intervention happens, you know, I want to ask them, and as a believer, you may claim to believe already. You already believe there are in many supernatural, incredible things. I mean, you believe that the Holy Spirit came upon a young virgin girl 2,000 years ago, and that she supernaturally conceived the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You believe that this same Jesus, he lived a sinless life and performed many supernatural signs, wonders, miracles, healings. People raised from the dead, water turned into wine, storms ceased at his word. You believe that he was wrongly convicted and crucified, killed on a cross, and the big one, you believe that he rose from the dead. That's what makes you born again. That's what makes you a believer. Believers claim to believe that when they place their faith, their reliance on the work of what Jesus has done in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that they receive forgiveness of sins, they receive eternal life, and that they were supernaturally translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Plus, as believers, these are things we say we believe. We believe that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as Scripture says, that when Jesus returns, your body will be supernaturally changed and transformed into a body like his, like Jesus's. And you'll supernaturally be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. But can Jesus do anything to help you now? Heal, deliver, set free, provide? Oh, I don't know. As a believer, we claim to believe that we're going to a place that we've never seen, heaven, and that we'll live forever with Jesus. But again, sadly, what too many Christians cannot believe is that this Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, always the same, that he will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He will fill us and empower us and enable us to do the works that Jesus did and even greater works. That's what Jesus said. You see, you don't get to pick and choose what you want to believe about the things Jesus said. Well, I like these things that Jesus said. I don't know about these other things. We need to grow. We need to be stretched in what we will believe of what Jesus said. I happen to be with him 100%. Okay? I mean, he conquered death. I don't like death. I'm with him. Does anybody else in all these things we've mentioned detect a little bit of irony? Some contradictions here? Let's stop doubting and start believing the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's grow and expand to include everything that the Lord has for each one of us in our lives and ministries. This morning, and I'm going to talk to you about why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know this has come up over the last year or so frequently, but I want you to please don't tune me out already, because I'm going to come to you toward the end. I'm going to tell you my personal story, because I believe it'll help you. And everybody who's received the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their story is a little bit unique, but there's some commonalities in that. And so if you know what to expect, to a certain degree, it's easier to open. You understand, this is my desire for you. Look, I I'm going to digress just for a second, and I don't have time to, but my intent is not to bring fear. We all know what's happening in the world around us. And if you don't, and put it this way, some of you watch too much news, and you're always on edge. You're always, you know, whoa, what are those dastardly Democrats going to do? What are those rascally Republicans? What are they up to? And you're just, whichever side you're on, it's just to keep you stirred up and agitated how everything is just going to collapse and we're all going to die. And you're just, you're in too deep. Let me tell you something. Jesus is still on the throne. I don't care who is running what in Washington, Jesus is still Lord. When you look at the history of God's people, they had some horrible, wicked leaders. But God blessed and took care of those who followed Him. I'm not worried. And so whenever I read things, you know, throughout history, the Jewish people have been persecuted and killed. This is a historical fact. They hate, Satan hates God's Jewish people, that branch of God's family. Listen, and they have been persecuted and they have been targeted like they're being done in our country. I don't care what you're reading about how the Jews are, some stupid headline, Jews are boiling and eating babies. This is the same kind of thing that was said in Nazi Germany. But anyway, I read something from someone I trust. I've actually had the privilege of meeting with him and talking with him a little bit. He's a Jewish rabbi. And, he's starting to get questions from Jews around the United States. Is it time for Jews to leave America? And he gives a whole lot of history that I wasn't aware of, but throughout history in different countries and different cities, some people early on saw it and they were able to escape. Of course, the most common one that we're familiar with in fairly recent history is, of course, with Nazi Germany. Some Jews started asking the question and they left. Some stayed, tried to stick it out, and it cost them dearly. They lost their lives, their fortune, their families, everything. And these questions are starting to come up. And again, I don't say these things to bring fear. This is the reality. Scripture says, Paul says, that in the last days, evil people are going to get worse. Yeah. And that there's going to be this surge of the spirit of the Antichrist. And you know what? We are called, as long as the church is here, Antichrist can't even show his face. The spirit is at work. So you don't understand the power that resides in you. That we are not tapping into. That everywhere you go, you are going to be, as Scripture says, to those who are looking for life, you're going to be the fragrance of life, and they're going to be drawn to the Lord Jesus. To others who are bent on destruction, you're going to be the smell of death to them, and they're going to want to stay. And you got to be okay with it. I don't like it when people don't like me. Well, get over it. They didn't like Jesus either. He says, if they were mean to me, they're going to be mean to you. Okay? All right, enough of the digression. My desire for you is, back to where we started, through any personal pain that you may be going through, and you're not quite ready to talk about it, I want you to know there are people who are here. But until then, I want you to have a resource that's not going to solve all your problems, but it's going to give you power to stand and to withstand what the enemy is doing. So please just hear me out. Hear me out. Okay? Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command. And the same disciples that he told, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Say gift. Yes. The gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when they met together, they asked, Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the date that my Father has set in his own authority. But You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus calls us to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to him in John's gospel as the Comforter. And he's the Helper. And that's the person. Yes, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit does come and he baptizes you into the body of Christ. I don't want to make this a theological whatever. I want you to see what God has for you. I want you to have help. I don't want you hurting. And he is the healer. This is the same Holy Spirit, he says, told his disciples, he told his followers, I know you're sad because I've told you I'm going to go away, but you don't understand. It's going to be better for you that I go away. How can it be better, Jesus? I want you right here. No, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Jesus in his humanity could only be in one place at a time, just like us. But the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, he can be in every one of us and everywhere we go. So let's look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So it is possible to know and understand God's will. And do not get drunk with wine, in which there is debauchery. Well, that's a fun word to say. You want to say it with me? Say it. Here we go. Debauchery. Yeah, what in the world is debauchery? Let me tell you what debauchery is. Your different translations will have different words, dissipation, all kinds of things. But I went to the root. I looked up the Greek word. It is behavior which shows lack of concern or thought for the consequences of an action. I'll say it again. It is behavior, things you do, which shows a lack of concern or giving thought for the consequences of what you're doing. He says, when you get drunk, you do stupid things, senseless deeds, reckless deeds. He says, but instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, that tells me a lot of things here. Let me just share one with you real quick. A lot of people think that you get filled with the Spirit, you begin to speak in another language, that somehow you're out of control. No, that's not what he's saying here. You are quite in control, okay? It's when you get wasted with drugs or other things. And you can, how many of you know, you can be intoxicated on other things besides drugs or alcohol. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world. You can get euphoric over that you just lose control and you start doing senseless, stupid things that you're not giving any concern, thought for the consequences of what's going on. But it's the opposite when you're filled with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And guess what? He was one of the most sane people to ever walk this earth. Right. Okay, well. He says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking. I want you to know, whether it's Old Testament or New, now, the gift of glossolalia, speaking in other tongues, an unknown tongue to you, a language to you, was not known in the Old Testament. This is strictly Day of Pentecost on kind of a thing, something to do with church age, the age we're part of. But anywhere you see in Old Testament or New Testament, when the Spirit of God came on, they always spoke. Always. Always. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, to our God and Father. And subject yourselves to one another in the fear of God. There's a partnership that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're resourced together for a powerful purpose. But anyway, these words, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, are linked to the phrases that precede them. Like in verse 15, he says, see then that you walked cautiously, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then verse 16, he says, you know, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, don't miss opportunities. You know, I don't have time for this, that, or the other. Listen, you got time for what you make time for. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. And you get to choose how you use it. Okay? He says, because the days are evil. They are chock full of pressure and difficult circumstances. And it's becoming more so that way. This is not difficult to discern around us, that the days are evil. Full of pressures. We live in times so loaded with pressures that apart from a resource beyond, outside of ourselves, to come in and work and work in us, We're going to be squeezed in the wrong way instead of retaining the image of Jesus Christ in us. Let me just tell you literally, when it says be filled with the Spirit, literally it means keep on being filled. It's an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's something you open to and you continually open up to it. But it's not automatic either. Millions of people have received an initial experience in the fullness of the Spirit, and yet they've never continued in it. Oh yeah, I remember that day and God filled the Holy Spirit, and I did, I spoke in tongues, and that was 20 years ago. Haven't since, but boy, that was great. And it's not because necessarily that they're pursuing carnal ways, just because they presume human pathways of thinking. And they set aside a resource. So I want us to use the rest of our time. I'll give you very quickly four reasons why we need to be filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, because Jesus promises the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and finish God's purpose in you in His power. No one is sufficient of themselves to bear the burden of responsibility in life that you face. And not only does the Lord come to help us to carry it, but in doing so, He unfolds giftings in that as well. The second thing is, because Jesus commands His followers to receive the promise so that He can replicate His life in each of us. You see, Jesus wants to keep doing, because He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He wants to keep doing the same things that He did. And He wants to reproduce that through the members of His body, you and me. We're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Yeah. Right. And there's nowhere in Scripture, in spite of some churches that are known as cessationists, that, you know, all the gifts of the Spirit, all the miracles, everything ceased. Oh, God could probably still do something if He wanted to. But, you know, beyond that, no. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. That quite the opposite. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says God placed in the church miracles, healings, all the gifts of the Spirit. Let me ask you, is the church still here? Yeah. As long as the church is still here, these are things He put in the church. Amen. Anyway, the Lord wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit, because everywhere you go is some place that Jesus wants to be. And He's there in you and in me. His preferred chosen way to get there is through you and me. Number three, we need to be filled and keep full of the Holy Spirit, because apart from the Holy Spirit, our spiritual capacities are, well, they get drained pretty fast, don't they? We don't have what it takes to deal with the crush of evil, the taunting or temptation. We run out of energy. Even when we're serving, doing the things God wants us to do. But the Spirit of God will rise up in us and cause there to be a strength to stand. And we need to be filled and to keep full of the Holy Spirit for refilling, refueling, and recovery. Look at it, and let's say it again. The Lord, by His Holy Spirit, wants to work in you refilling, refueling, and recovery. The book of Jude, verse 17 says, "But you're loved. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts." These are sensual, not spiritual, sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. "But you who are loved, build yourselves up." Meaning what? You have to cooperate. You build yourself up by using something that God gives you. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And then number four, reasons we need to be filled and to keep full of the Holy Spirit is because spiritual language begets praise and prayer that exalts Christ, breaks evil bonds, and as we just read it, builds us up. You see, when we talk about Holy Spirit language, a language that God gives distinctly and uniquely to each one who will open up to Him, it's a language that transcends our earthly tongue, our earthly language. Let me just say something. We're not dealing here with a sectarian, bigoted notion that tongues makes you a superior saint. It does not. I've met some really rascally ones. God never gave spiritual language as a badge of achievement. Never. He gave it as an ability for prayer and praise beyond ourselves. So when the Lord says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, it isn't simply a matter of using your spiritual language and praying in the Spirit, but that's part of it. See, when we pray in the Spirit, let me tell you what happens. We tear down strongholds of darkness. We build ourselves up with the strength to withstand the enemy. We are living in times where hell would like to break you down, but you can receive the promise of your heavenly Father and keep on being filled with the Spirit. See, notice what the Scripture says about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Verse 2 says, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to people, to other people, to men." I've heard people say, oh, this is what God gives missionaries to speak in language. I mean, God's just supernaturally done that, but it's not a learned language. You're not speaking to people. This is the personal. I wish I had time. You know what I was going to do this summer? Until I'm being sent away. But you're coming back. I was going to invite you to a series of Sunday nights where I could talk about this and just break it down. See, because there's different kinds of tongues in the sense that what Paul's talking about here is a personal prayer language that's just for you and God. But then there's also, in this mix, there's people who might get up in a gathering like this and give a message in tongues that would then be interpreted, which Paul says is equivalent to giving a prophetic word. And so people read there, see, you know, won't tongues cease and blah, blah. Well, you know, and do all speak with tongues answers, you know, of course, rhetorically, no. But he's not talking about your personal language. He's talking about in the church. There's context to everything here. I certainly don't have time in one Sunday morning to cover it all. So I'm just trying to get you to focus on this one aspect of it. Let's continue. You're not speaking to men for God, for no one, no person understands or catches his meaning. Because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truth and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Let me tell you why this particular gift in Scripture is so, people make it controversial. It's because Satan does not know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying, but you're building yourself up. It's a spiritual thing, and you just start feeling, I can't explain it, but there's just something that as you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, that there comes it affects your natural strength to a certain degree, but it gives you a spiritual power. Jesus said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you find yourself withstanding so much more of the onslaught of the enemy. But see, Satan doesn't know what you're saying either. And you talk about getting his goat, because if he can get you to only pray, Paul said, I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding. I'll pray in my spiritual language, I'll pray in my known language. There's a both. It's not an either or. Don't get me wrong. But see, when you pray, how many of you have experienced this? You're going to get down to pray and all of a sudden you just, all these things that you need to get up and go do. And oh, you forgot about this and that bill's late. You better get up now and go get online and pay that sucker, right? I mean, you're just all the stuff comes against you, right?
Right.
When you start praying in the spirit, I tell you what, you can think about those things, because Paul says, when I pray in the spirit, my innermost being is praying out, but I can think about other things. And so let me tell you a little secret. Just have a little pad and paper, or if you do it on your phone, little notes, and just write, okay, when I'm done here. And that way you don't forget. And it shuts the mouth of the enemy. Okay?
Yep.
So that was for free. So anyway, Satan fights this because he doesn't understand it either. So let me just tell you something. As speaking of myself, as one who utilizes praying in tongues, listen, it does not make me better than any other Christian. But what it does do, it makes me a better me. It makes me a better me. So let me just quickly tell you, I'm a preacher's kid. I only have very few memories when I was 3 years old. My dad was not a pastor preaching. He started out in what was called a Skid Row mission in downtown Tulsa. Back then they weren't called homeless people, they were called hobos and bums. And most of them were addicted to alcohol and they were homeless. And he worked a mission there. And then from there on, he went on, he pastored several churches. And there would be, you know, again, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then sometimes revivals that were all week long, and sometimes they would go 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks long. And so you're there every night as a PK. As a little kid, I would come forward many times and have people pray with me to receive the Holy Spirit, and nothing happened. And then I was probably about 10 years old. It was an evening service, and actually at that point, my mom had stayed home with my younger brothers and sisters because revival service is going on and little kids can only handle so much. But I went forward and prayed, and it was different that time. I did not speak in a spiritual language. But we're driving home, and I said, Dad, can I tell Mom that I was filled with the Spirit? And he didn't say, no, son, because you didn't speak in tongues, whatever. He didn't go there. He just said, do you believe that you received the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes. And it was just a few weeks after that. It's just as a 10-year-old. I'm outside, and it would happen every once in a while. I would look around, just, wow, God, you created all this. It's just amazing. And Lord, I love you and praise you. And then something, not from here, this is where most people miss it. They think it's going to come from here like your normal language does and out of your mouth. You're going to think it and then say it. And it does not happen that way. It comes from down here. Your innermost spirit is something that rises up and out. Okay? That's the only way I know to explain it. And all of a sudden, these sounds, these phrases, these strange words started just to come up. And I gave voice to them and started speaking in a new language. That's the key takeaway that I want for you this right now. Is to understand it does not come out of your head and out of your mouth. It comes from here and rises up and out. Okay? You have scripture for that, Pastor. Oh, absolutely. You should have known better than to ask. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, there's something lacking. You're needing something. Thirst will debilitate you. It makes you susceptible. to all kinds of stuff. If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He hadn't gone to the cross yet and rose from the dead. Again, it's not from my head, not from my mind. Yes, it is me speaking, because that's one of the things. Am I just making this up? Listen, if it's rising up out of you, well, yes, it's you speaking. The Holy Spirit's not going to take your tongue and mouth and make you talk. Like I said, it's not like when you're drunk, you're out of control. No, quite the contrary. You do have to speak. So this is what I want to do. Just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. Whether you've never received this gift, this is my desire for you. And this is not, I love you less if you don't. It's nothing like that. I hope you know that by now. I hope you know that by now. This just doesn't have anything to do. It's something that I desire for you. Amen. Because I want you to not have to just struggle as hard, to not just being drained by the things that life throws at us. And if you've received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but you have not exercised that, it requires faith to speak with tongues. That's a whole nother message. What this does, building yourself up on your most holy faith. But it requires faith to speak. And listen to me. You haven't spoken in tongues. You need to let loose. You need to give voice to that. The Holy Spirit has never left you. So I'm going to ask you to stand.
I grew up, this is my father, and my grandfather was that man that he was talking about, and I remember several times him coming to church, and he would host a, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Come, let's pray and let's do it. A lot of times it's on a Sunday night. And there was one time that I was so desperate to be able to do it. You know, like you come in desperation. And my grandpa prayed over me and he's like, Holly, we're not leaving until you do. And then all of a sudden, oh no, but what if I don't? You know, so then the fear in my head of the expectation now is like I have to come up with, you know, like, well, what if it doesn't happen though? And we're going to be here all night, you know, like that's not going to happen. And I surrendered. It didn't happen. So like, we're gonna stay here until it does. And I don't remember how that ended. And I think he just prayed for a nice long time over me, but there's a line of people and he's like, we'll come back to you. You know, it was in my own spirit. It was something in me that said, this still is about me. And it's not about you. Yes, you should come expectant and with desperation, but it's not something that you're going to conjure up on your own. And it wasn't until I was an adult years later that I was going through something that was so heavy that I couldn't pray about it. I didn't have words. It was too hard. It's like I've already prayed so much about it. And the Lord, you know, I don't know if he's not hearing me or what it is, you know, like, but it's not getting answered in my time frame. And it was too much, but I laid down to worship because I was like, I don't know what else to do. I can't keep praying about this. I'm exhausted and I don't have the words anymore. And I went down to worship and that's when the Lord met me. I started to open my mouth to sing, to praise his name. And then I realized I'm not singing words and I didn't have to think about it. It was like something was being released off of me. The pressure, the weight, I didn't have to come up with any words to say to the Lord. He just could see my heart. So I want to encourage you. You may come this morning expectant. Lord, please meet me here. And it might not happen right now, and that's okay. It's okay. But keep that willingness, that openness, and do what he says to did you come and receive the Holy Spirit right here today? Because it'll happen in its time. It really will.
Okay, let me tell you. Coming into this week, I'm coming up on Thursday, not quite like me not to be, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I had several things rolling around, and something, this happened, and this is what the Lord spoke to me to do. If you want to be prayed for up here, I'll be happy to meet you up here. But this is what we're to do right now. I want you to just, in just a moment, what I want to do is just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I'm open. Please fill me. I love you, Jesus. And then you've got to stop speaking in English because you can't speak two languages at the same time. And just wait. And if there are sounds, there's syllables, there's strange things, it's going to sound different. But don't tell me that it sounds weird. You have been in grocery stores and you've heard Oriental people and other people speaking a language, and that sounded really different, didn't it? Okay, a language does. But you can be filled with the Spirit right now, right where you're standing. You can give voice to that. And some of you, it may not happen right now, but it may be, your experience may end up being, there's a lot of people that have the same thing, that after I pray, you open up and you just feel this peace. But as you go during this week or the week after or in a short time to come, you're going to be by yourself just opening up to the Lord, and it's going to just rise up within you. Give voice to it. But when that happens, I want you to come back and talk to me because I have a further word of encouragement to share with you. But right now, let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Lord Jesus, come and fill your lambs. The promise of the Father, Lord, that you want to give us a resource, a gifting, a spiritual language, Lord. Sora la ya ta ta ba ko na ma la da de si di ya la la ba ka si yo ko.